Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views and the views of our guests. And, well, this evening our special guest is Jeffrey Smith. And we're going to be talking about one of the most incredible stories you've ever heard. And that is the genetically modified foods that have been introduced into our diet that have tremendous adverse effects on our health. And certainly the hormones that are used in certain of the milk products have tremendous and terrible effects on our health. And in other countries, the people know about it. Here in the United States, they don't. In Europe, of course, the general population is totally against genetically modified food. And here in America, we're supposed that we have freedom of the press. Very, very few people understand what has really transpired in the past and what's going on today. Well, with us is Jeffrey Smith, who's written extensively on this, and I consider him the expert that we have here, who's leading a crusade to try to save the lives of the American people, because believe me, I think we're talking about a deadly, deadly deception. Jeffrey, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure, thank you.
Well, why don't you go ahead? Now, remember, this is an entirely different audience. You haven't talked to them before, so don't be hesitant to repeat what you've told us on our other networks.
No problem. I want to first point out a very interesting fact, and that is eyewitness reports all over North America and in Europe describe that when animals are given the choice between eating genetically engineered foods and non-genetically engineered foods, they choose the non-genetically engineered foods. That would be soy and corn primarily, but also there's soy, corn, cotton, and canola, all four major genetically engineered crops, where the DNA of the plant has been altered by forcing genes from bacteria and viruses and other sources into the DNA. And this process is designed either to create a pesticide-producing gene in the plant so that the plant produces its own pesticide, or it produces a protein that allows the plant to be sprayed with an herbicide and not die, so that only the weeds around it die, so you can just spray over the top of these genetically engineered plants and kill all the other biodiversity. Now, we know from the 10 years that these genetically engineered foods have been on the market that there are thousands of sick, sterile, and dead animals and damage to virtually every system and organ in animals that have been studied in laboratories. So no wonder, for some reason, the animals, when given a choice, have avoided eating genetically engineered foods. This includes cows, pigs, horses, geese, raccoons, elk, deer, mice, and rats, all avoiding eating genetically engineered foods. And my experience over the last few years is that when I explain the extent of the potential damage from these crops on human health and the experience of thousands of toxic and allergic reactions linked from these products to human problems, that people decide to take the same position as animals and take the choices to avoid eating genetically engineered foods.
Well, it sounds like the animals are a lot smarter than the human beings. They seem to sense what's going on, whereas we're so trusting, and of course they put so much of the genetically engineered corn into other things, we don't recognize it's there. Certainly isn't it this a lot of the pre-prepared food that we're eating?
Absolutely. In fact, if something comes in a box, I would guess that 9 out of 10 times it has at least a tiny amount of genetically engineered processed foods in it, particularly soy and corn derivatives.
All right, fine. Well, when we get back, we're going to talk about what the damage is that's done to animals, because certainly the animals have been studied, and, you know, if it's not safe for animals, why would we think it's safe for human beings, or maybe it isn't? Well, Jeffrey, what sort of damage do we really find in the animals? Certainly there have been a lot of animal studies done, haven't there?
Well, there's not too many, actually. There's about 24 peer-reviewed published animal feeding safety studies. Most of the studies that the industry holds up as animal studies is really commercial studies, which determine, for example, the thickness of the fat pad in a chicken or the amount of milk in a dairy cow. But very few safety studies have been done. However, even though many of the industry studies are meticulously designed to avoid finding problems, they nevertheless arise. And the few independent studies that have been done almost always show significant problems. Let's take one example, reproductive problems. When you look at mice that are fed genetically engineered soybeans, there's changes in the young sperm cells. Now, what this means is there may be a problem in fertility or in the health of the offspring. Now, we don't know the details, but when they did look at the embryos of mothers that were fed genetically engineered soy compared to those that were fed natural soy, and the functioning of the DNA was different. So this tells you that the health of the offspring might be affected. If you look further down the road, however, you find when rats at the National Academy of Sciences were fed genetically engineered soy, mother rats, then the offspring died at 5 times the rate of the offspring from rats that were fed natural soy. About 56% of the offspring died within 3 weeks if their moms were fed GM soy, and only about 9% of the offspring if the mothers were fed non-GM soy. And this was repeated 3 times. Now, it was a preliminary study. It was small. And one of the criticisms leveled at the research was that they never did a biological analysis of the feed to make sure that there were no toxins unique to that particular genetically engineered soy that might have just been from mycotoxins or some other growth. However, something happened to give us the impression that it's not a unique batch, but it's more genetically engineered soy as a whole. Here's what happened. They did this study 3 times and got similar results each time, and then all of a sudden they found that the soy-based formula that they were giving to all of the rats in the facility started to become genetically engineered. So all of a sudden, every rat in the facility was now being fed genetically engineered soy-based rat chow. So the researcher could not continue because there was no control group that was only being fed non-GM soy, because everyone was all of a sudden being fed genetically engineered soy.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Jeffrey was saying, was this a study that was done at the NIH we're speaking of?
At the Russian National Academy of Science.
Russian National Academy of Science, and certainly when they fed, one group genetically engineered soy, these are rats, and the other non-genetically engineered soy, why, first of all, the fetal mortality was well over 50% in the group that got the soy, and 9 or 10% of those that got...
Yeah, 9 or 10%, exactly. When you put all three repetitions together, it was 10%. Offspring mortality when the mothers were fed normal natural soy, and about 53% altogether of all the three studies after when the mother rats were fed genetically engineered soy. But then all of a sudden all of the rats in the facility started eating genetically engineered soy-based rat chow because the company that was selling the rat chow started getting a new supplier, and so they couldn't do any more follow-up studies. But within 2 months, the offspring mortality of all of the rats in the facility had skyrocketed to over 50%. Most of the rats died. Most of the young rat pups died within the first 3 weeks.
And of course, the other thing was that this affected the sperm and the testes on the rats who were fed the genetically engineered soy. And so you would wonder if this should carry off to humans. But have they done any studies? We know that an awful lot of increasing number of humans are having difficulty reproducing.
Absolutely, there's a lot of problems in human beings right now with sperm counts. There's also a very high level of infant mortality in the United States compared to most of the industrialized countries in the world. There's a lot of low birth weight babies. I didn't mention that these rats that were born from the GM soy-fed mothers had much lower birth weight on average. They were just tiny in comparison in some cases. And so we don't know if the shocking statistics in the United States related to low birth weight babies and high levels of infant mortality are related to genetically engineered. So you'd think there would be some human studies. However, there was only one single published human feeding study on genetically engineered foods. And it was also related to genetically engineered soy. And they found that the soy, that the gene that was inserted into the genetically engineered soy transferred to human gut bacteria and continued to produce its protein, which means long after you stop eating a genetically engineered food, it might deposit a gene inside the DNA of your gut bacteria, which might reproduce and spread and colonize the bacteria, possibly for many years. So it's a very, very serious problem that has not been fully investigated. In fact, this was the pro-GM UK government-funded study that found that genes transferred, and they immediately stopped any additional research. They would not fund any follow-up research to see if other problems existed as a result of this gene transfer.
Because this is an official policy, both of Great Britain and the United States, to encourage the use of genetically engineered food, even though all of the animal studies suggest it's not safe. And you have to ask yourself why this doesn't make sense, unless there's another agenda having to do with altering the fertility of our people, because it certainly alters the fertility rates of the rats. And the interesting thing is, if you're studying neonatal mortality, neonatal or childhood infant death is increasing in America, and nobody has an explanation for it, and nobody seems to want to ask why.
You know, there's another story about reproductive problems, and that's with genetically engineered corn. There's corn engineered to produce its own pesticide, which is called BT. That's the name of the pesticide. And there's some farmers in Iowa and all around the Midwest that say that certain varieties of genetically modified corn cause their livestock to become sterile. Mostly pigs. Thousands of pigs either were sterile or had false pregnancies, or even gave birth to bags of water. And there were also cows and bulls that became sterile. Now, an interesting corollary is that there was a study in Baylor College of some mice, and they found that all of a sudden the mice's fertility dropped dramatically, and they couldn't get pregnant. And it turns out they found that it was linked to the corn cob bedding that they had used just to house the mice. Somehow the presence of the bedding of this corn, the crushed corn cob, caused the sterility in mice. And they found that these corn cobs had high levels of hormone endocrine disruptors, and they were actually crushed in Iowa right near where the incidence of this high sterility occurred in pigs and cows. And we think it's the same genetically engineered corn that caused the problem, which might have related to the presence of these endocrine disruptors that appeared in the corn. It was also that endocrine disruptors were also reported in store-bought corn and corn on the cob, and had different levels in the genetically engineered varieties. So these are some of the things that I report in my new book, Genetic Roulette, The Documented Health Risks of Genetically Engineered Foods. Working with more than 30 scientists over the last 2 years, we've identified 65 health risks. 20 of them are adverse findings, where we actually see damage to organs, damage to livers and pancreas and kidneys, toxicity. We see a deadly epidemic in the 1980s linked to a genetically engineered food supplement. And the genetically engineered drug, the bovine growth hormone, injected into cows to increase milk supply, and it's linked to cancer and increased rate of twins. And then there's 45 other risks that are associated with the theoretical risks, like why genes transfer more readily from genetically engineered crops into human gut bacteria, how the virus-resistant plants that are genetically engineered, and there's three of them, there's Hawaiian papaya, a little bit of zucchini, and a little bit of crookneck squash, the less predominant genetically engineered crops, how these might actually reduce human defenses to viruses, how people eating these crops might be more susceptible to getting viruses. So these are some of the things that we cover, and it's really unbelievable how overwhelming evidence, irrefutable evidence now, shows that these genetically engineered crops are unsafe, and yet those who are promoting it refuse to engage in a scientific discussion of the details. They refuse to respond to our requests around the world to show evidence that these 65 risks are not dangerous. Instead, they simply continue to promote the same the same public relations rhetoric that these things are necessary to feed the world, etc.
Yeah, and of course the thing is that in Europe, why, of course, there's tremendous opposition. Of course, the opposition has been fairly well silenced here, except for Jeffrey and his Institute on Responsible.
The Institute for Responsible Technology at responsibletechnology.org. We have a campaign for healthier eating in America, where we're working with the natural food industry to remove all remaining genetically engineered ingredients from the natural food sector, and to put non-GMO shopping guides and educational materials in all the health food stores. We have a GM-free school campaign, complete with a video that's very compelling, that explains why children are most at risk from the potential dangers of genetically engineered foods. We have a program to educate healthcare professionals using very scientific-based educational materials. And we also are now approaching religious leaders to describe the health dangers, and they themselves believe that these GMOs, these genetically modified organisms, the GMO really means God move over, that it's, we're operating in areas that we shouldn't be. So we have a whole program to influence consumer purchasing behavior. When we think that if a small percentage of U.S. shoppers decide to stop eating genetically engineered foods to protect themselves, that will be all that's necessary to cause the rest of the food industry to remove it. They don't gain anything from using genetically engineered ingredients. There's no consumer benefits. And when there was a significant tipping point reached in Europe, virtually all of the major food manufacturers vowed to remove genetically engineered ingredients from their European brands within a single week. And that was back in 1999. We expect the same tipping point to happen in the United States very soon.
Well, let's, of course, talk a little bit about bovine, what is it, recombinant bovine?
Yes, the bovine growth hormone. This is a great example of having reached the tipping point. Since about September of last year, we've been hearing reports from the Boston Globe, the New York Times, Reuters, all over the country. Dairy upon dairy are now committing to remove this, what we consider to be very dangerous drug, from their dairy herd operations, because we have been educating consumers about the health risks. There's enough consumer resistance to have reached the tipping point. So let me tell you a little bit about this drug. They take a gene from a cow and they put it into E. coli bacteria, turning the bacteria into a living factory. It produces a hormone very similar to the one that's produced in the cow. They inject it into the cow, and it increases the milk supply.
It's a growth hormone.
It's a growth hormone, right. Exactly. It's a bovine growth hormone. But it increases the tendency for infections in the udder, which increases the amount of pus in the milk, which causes farmers to put more antibiotics into the cows, which puts more antibiotics into the milk. There's more bovine growth hormone in the milk. And most importantly, the milk has higher levels of a very powerful hormone called insulin-like growth factor 1. And we'll talk about that in a minute, but it's a very serious hormone.
And because that's the one that predisposes to breast carcinoma and prostate carcinoma.
Exactly, precisely.
And what is it? Is it sevenfold increase in breast cancer?
Yes.
Sevenfold and fourfold increase in cancer of the prostate.
Prostate cancer, yes.
And you wonder why one in three men is getting cancer of the prostate today, or certainly why one in six or seven women is getting cancer of the breast. It's in their milk. They know it's there, and they're doing everything they can to conceal it from you. This is a great book, and we'll have great... certainly Jeffrey will be telling you more about his new book in just a moment or two, but I think it's something that everybody out there really needs to get. You need to get this information. your very life is at stake. Well, go right ahead and pick the story up, Jeffrey.
Well, you know, it's interesting. People say to me sometimes, well, what's the government say about this? Aren't they protecting us? Well, it's interesting.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Not only increases infection and other thing in the cows, but of course it increases the milk, but it increases this other very toxic substance that is related directly to cancer of the breast and cancer of the prostate. Not a little increase, but a sevenfold increase of cancer of the breast. We wonder why cancer of the breast is exploding, and we see all these people, little pink bows on their on the lapels, and a fourfold increase of cancer of the prostate. One in three men now get cancer of the prostate, and they can directly link it to this substance in milk. And of course, they've got wonderful ads to, for us to drink milk. But tell us about those scientists you were just about to say. Tell us about what happened to these Canadian scientists who had been offered large bribes by Monsanto not to tell the truth.
Yes, exactly. They had been. They testified that they were offered a bribe of $1 to $2 million. Monsanto said they must have misunderstood an offer for research money, and told that on Canadian television. That was in 1998, and between 1997 and 2001, at the same time they were denying trying to bribe the Canadian health officials, they were actively bribing at least or approximately 140 Indonesian officials and got caught and had to pay a fine of $1.5 million to the U.S. Justice Department. So we also know of government officials in India that rewrote over yield results, trying to show that the cotton that Monsanto had sold the seeds for had actually higher yields than it did. In fact, it had much lower yields than the natural cotton, 52% lower in its first year of introduction, and they had promised local farmers huge yields and caused them to take out very large loans at high rates of interest and plant in the expectation of becoming rich. Well, they ended up impoverished, and thousands have since committed suicide in India. In addition, this cotton is genetically engineered to produce its own pesticide. Well, those that are harvesting the cotton are now complaining of allergic reactions. And when they let livestock graze on these plants after harvest, many of them are dying. In fact, they estimated 10,000 dead sheep, one in four, died after grazing on genetically engineered cotton plants in India. No, now no. The government is putting out warnings not to let animals graze on these cotton plants.
And yet, of course, they use the seeds from the cotton for cottonseed oil, and the human beings consume the cottonseed oil, don't they?
Absolutely. We also wear the cotton, and they feed parts of the cotton plant to animals. And so cotton is one of the four major genetically engineered crops, and it is a food crop. When you look at the processed foods in the United States, typically you'll see either soy, corn, cottonseed, or canola oil. All four, those are the four major genetically engineered crops.
And, of course, I think what people have to understand is that when you genetically modify the plant, every leaf, every bud, every seed, every part of the stem, you know, has this genetic modification. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. In fact, the gene, for example, that creates its own pesticide, produces the pesticide in the root, which binds with the soil and stays active. It produces it in the leaves and the stems. And the gene that produces the pesticide might transfer to human gut bacteria, which means it might turn our own gut bacteria into living pesticide factories, again, possibly for the rest of our lives. We don't know, because not a single study has been done to see if this toxic-producing gene is transferred. We know that the gene inserted into soy transfers. We also know that many of these crops have antibiotic-resistant genes used in the process of creating the genetically engineered crop. If these transfer, they can create diseases that are super diseases, accidentally engineered not to die when treated with antibiotics.
In other words, basically, they block the effectiveness of antibiotics, and they're putting it in our food supply.
Exactly. And this was the British Medical Association called for a moratorium on all genetically engineered foods, and this was one of the reasons.
And of course, we certainly in other countries, why, of course, they're acting responsibly. I tell you, I go to medical meetings all the time, and they attack and vilify and demonize anybody who's concerned about genetically modified foods. Why, I mean, that is simply the radicals, you know, the crazy environmentalists. Well, some of the environmentalists' concerns are very well justified. And I think what we need is solid science. They don't want solid science. They planted their people. Monsanto has planted their people in the Federal Drug Administration in key positions to get these things released, unleashed on the public. And the fact you're not reading about this in your newspaper reflects the degree of control that exists over what we think. Well, Jeffrey, you go right ahead. And what about Europe? Do you want to talk a little bit about what's happening in Europe? And certainly, at least in Europe, there's a degree of sanity still.
Yes, it's interesting that the fight goes on all around the world. I've been to about 30 countries in the last 4 years, close to 200 cities, and it's a pitched battle. I was just in Europe. In fact, you called me there a couple months ago. I was speaking at the European Parliament office, and there's some very strong parliamentarians there that are adamantly against genetically engineered foods. And then there's also some that are pro-GM, and they never show up to the briefings where any negative word is spoken about genetically engineered foods. It's unfortunately a common thing that for those who've been convinced by the biotech industry propaganda that genetically engineered foods are safe and helpful and good, they never let themselves hear any opposite opinions, because there's a built-in propaganda within that anyone who's against genetically engineered foods must be anti-science, even though we're calling for more science, that we're irrational, even though we're calling for rationality, and that we're emotional, even though we find that the most emotional and irrational arguments are made by the biotech industry. Now, when I was in the European Parliament office in Ireland on June 15th, it was a couple of days after the Irish government announced that they were going to be negotiating to establish themselves as a GM-free nation, where they would not allow any planting of genetically engineered crops. And the person who was on the panel with me within a week became the Minister of Food and Horticulture and for the Green Party for the whole country, and they're now working to establish that. In Poland, they also want to create a completely GM-free zone. They've banned the use of genetically engineered animal feed. They've banned the planting of certain genetically engineered seeds, same as Greece, same as parts of Austria. But the pro-GMO European Commission, the unelected bureaucrats that continue to rubber stamp approvals of genetically engineered crops, continually challenge these member states, claiming that it's illegal for European countries to be GM-free, and they're trying to do the bidding of the United States, which is pushing it on the rest of the world for its own agenda.
Yeah, and I think that it's so vitally important that people understand that the major force behind what's going on today is the United States, who are using certainly the political muscle and political power of the United States government to force other countries to use something which is potentially lethal and certainly deleterious to people's health. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Jeffrey was just saying that he's been to Europe, and certainly Ireland wants to get all the GMO foods, you know, restricted in their country, and certainly parts of Austria and many of the other countries over there, Poland. They're doing everything they can to get rid of GM foods. The bureaucrats in the European Union are saying, you individual sovereign countries don't have the right to do that. We're going to tell you what to do, and of course they're going right along with the programs being pushed by our own government, which are really, I think, doing tremendous harm to the health of people throughout the world. But at least in Europe, there's increasing knowledge and understanding of the real danger. But before we go on, Jeffrey, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your ministry, responsibletechnology.org, how they can get copies of your book, your talks, and certainly the DVD that you offer.
Sure. There's a website, responsibletechnology.org, and there's also, you can go to geneticroulette.com. And these two websites, which are linked to each other as well, they offer the book, GeneticRoulette.com, which is all the known health risks of genetically engineered foods, an easy-to-understand presentation. There's my first book, Seeds of Deception, which is the world's best-selling book on GM foods, which describes all of the corruption and briberies and hijacked regulatory agencies that are the reason why we're facing these foods on the market. We have a video called Hidden Dangers in Kids' Meals. You can link to a excerpt of that and see not only why kids are most at risk, but also the incredible benefits to a school that switched to healthy, natural food when all the behavior of the kids changed. It was a very dramatic story that I enjoy showing in my video. We also have an audio CD, a 60-minute talk, which you can listen to online, download it onto your iPod or onto a CD, share it with your friends, and you could sign up for a free syndicated monthly column. Every month you'll hear about some aspect of genetically engineered foods. In May, we wrote about allergies related to soy and the fact that soy allergies in the UK skyrocketed by 50% after genetically engineered soy was introduced. In June, we talked about the potential for allergies from corn. And then in July, we talked about the toxicity and reproductive problems. This month, we'll probably talk about the campaign for healthier eating in America and how we're going to be transforming the U.S. food supply into be GM-free with your help. In fact, right now, for the first time in our history, donations to our responsibletechnology.org are being doubled. They're being doubled by the Mercola.com Foundation. So you're invited to participate either by becoming a member. You become a member for $25. You get a free 3-disc set, the GMO Trilogy, which includes The Hidden Dangers in Kids' Meals. So maybe I'm talking too much about that, but I'm actually quite inspired to get people equipped with this information. We try and put it out in all sorts of ways so that people can take it the way they want it, whether it's audio, video, book, newsletter, article, etc., and they can share it with others, because we can't rely on the major mainstream media to do this. We have to rely on radio shows like yours and these other ways that we can get the information out.
And ladies and gentlemen out there in the listening audience, we're talking about damaging your health and the health of your family and damaging the reproductive ability of your children and certainly of adults. I mean, studies are there in animals, and of course, when they plant their people, as Gregory has pointed out, the attorney from Monsanto suddenly gets a key position in the FDA, and many of the FDA scientists are saying these are not safe. And the Monsanto, Monsanto attorney, who now is working in a key position, the FDA says, oh, they're perfectly safe, no more studies, nothing has to be done. And then, of course, he leaves the FDA. And what does he do? He becomes vice president of Monsanto, and I'm sure he's being well compensated for his betrayal of the health of the American people. But who represents you out there? Who represents your family? And people say, this sort of thing couldn't go on. My country couldn't do that. And you're right, your country isn't doing it. But there are some wicked people who've gotten into key positions that are doing it. And, of course, the good scientists in the Federal Drug Administration and really in Canada and throughout our country and throughout the world are trying to get their information out, and the public is not hearing it. Earlier, Gregory had said off the air, Jeffrey had said off the air that Fox News was going to present a 3 or 4 part program on this, and then they get a threatening letter from Monsanto, and the whole story is killed. So you're not going to get this sort of information through regular channels. Well, why not? I mean, why not have an open discussion? Well, because if the American people understood, why, maybe they would simply say, we're not going to poison our children or let you poison us. Well, what sort of response are you getting? First of all, here in the United States, do you think that a certain number of people are beginning to awaken, especially when you can tie this hormone in milk directly to breast cancer and to cancer of the prostate?
They're absolutely waking up, and I'm very happy to see that. In the last few months, because of consumer concern on this bovine growth hormone issue, Starbucks agreed that they would be completely without RBGH by the end of the year. Public supermarket in Florida is now RBGH-free. Kroger's supermarket is RBGH-free. Tillamook cheese. So many dairies are now removing this because of concerns by consumers. Now, when I speak about the health dangers of the genetically engineered crops, I find an immediate response. I mean, I was just speaking to over 250 doctors in the Chicago area at a conference, and in about 26 minutes, at the beginning I said, okay, rate yourself how vigilant you've been at avoiding bringing genetically engineered foods into your home. And I said, okay, rate yourself from 1 to 100. How many people are 0 to 20? And virtually every hand went up. They were not paying attention to this. At the end of 26 minutes, I said, okay, now rate yourself how vigilant you'll be next week at avoiding bringing GM foods into your home. and virtually everyone was in the 80 to 100 category. These are medical doctors, and they swarmed me afterwards saying, we had absolutely no idea how dangerous it was, and we're very, very happy to know about it. And they bought my books, and they asked for patient education material, and we now have doctors around the country that are prescribing to patients to avoid eating genetically engineered foods, which means either buying organic, buying products that say non-GMO, or reading labels and avoiding the at-risk ingredients, which is the soy, corn, cotton, and canola, if it's not organic, or the Hawaiian papaya, and there's also a little bit of zucchini and crookneck squash. So eating those is a bit of a gamble because you don't know if it's genetically engineered or not.
No doubt they did have the genetically engineered potatoes, but they gave up on that after the disastrous effects, didn't they?
Well, what happened was, in about 2001, McDonald's rejected them, Burger King did, so did Pringles, and they said, okay, for marketing purposes, we'll take it off the market. There was also tomatoes in the market. These were tomatoes designed to have delayed ripening so that they could transfer without bruising. And it turns out when documents were made public from a lawsuit from the FDA, we find now that when the rats were fed the tomatoes, first of all, the rats refused to eat it and they had to be force-fed. When they were force-fed, 7 of 20 female rats developed stomach lesions. Another 7 of 40 rats died within 2 weeks and were replaced in the study. And we know that the scientists still had outstanding questions, that they didn't show a reasonable certainty of no harm and said this hasn't basically passed their test, but the FDA did not require that this tomato be stopped. So it's a good example of the kind of way that the political appointees at the FDA have run the show and completely destroyed the science and denied the existence of the concerns by the scientists. In fact, we know that the policy was systematically changed over and over again before it became public. And one scientist complained, he said, what's become of this policy? There's no more science in it. It's just a political document. It doesn't deal with the unpredicted side effects. It's very pro-industry. And these are the words from the FDA's own scientists in the internal memos, showing that the political influence was ruling the day over the science.
All right, fine. Well, what about those tomatoes? Are they on the market or not?
No, they've been taken off the market, fortunately. They didn't taste good, they were mushy, and so they didn't last very long, which I'm happy to say.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number, if you'd like to talk to Jeffrey Smith, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Jeffrey's been over and he's been talking to, parliaments all over Europe and leaders all over Europe. How long were you in Europe?
Well, I was in Europe for about 4 weeks this time. And in fact, I got a call while I was speaking at Cambridge University, and they invited me to come to Brazil for 72 hours to speak to some important people there. So I actually left my European trip, went to Brazil for 3 days, and then came back to Geneva.
And, of course, there are people in the legislatures all across the world who are concerned about this sort of thing and don't want to see their people poisoned, and they're getting information out. And then, of course, Monsanto comes in and starts spreading around their bribes and using their threats and all the other things. But certainly, at least in Europe, there's tremendous opposition among the general people to this, because the information has gotten out in Europe about the danger of genetically modified food. Wouldn't that be a fair statement as the general person is concerned?
It's certainly far greater than the United States. They're actually shocked when they host Americans and they ask about GMOs, and the Americans are completely unaware of it. 60% of Americans say they've never eaten a GM food in their life, and yet most eat it in every meal. In Europe, they know about GMOs, and they don't eat it. Now, they know about it a lot. I mean, there was a lot of pretty high-profile headline stories. For example, back in 1999, there was a scientist who had been fired from his job after 35 years and silenced with threats of a lawsuit when he discovered that a supposedly harmless experimental genetically engineered potato caused damage to virtually every system in rats within 10 days. So once he went public, it was all of a sudden exposed how it was the political machinery and probably two phone calls from the UK Prime Minister's office to his director that forced his early retirement. And so that information went all over Europe and the damage to his rats, and yet it was described by Project Censored as one of the 10 most underreported events of the year in the United States.
It was under Tony Blair there.
Exactly, the pro-GM Tony Blair. who's been pushing GM in spite of the fact that over 80% of his people are completely against it. He pushed forward, for example, for finally that he would get approval for a new genetically engineered corn to be planted in the UK and distributed, and as soon as it's approved, the company said they're not even going to bother because no one there wants it. So it was an embarrassment for the government in a way that protected the people from what could have been a very dangerous corn that we're already eating in the United States.
Well, now, what about the genetically engineered rice crop? Here, we know here in California they had planted fields of genetically engineered rice, ensuring everybody that it would never spread. It was going to be just kept in those fields. And then, of course, the pollen spreads, and suddenly it begins to get into other areas. How dangerous is the genetically engineered rice? Do we know anything about it? And how badly contaminated is the rice crop here in the United States? Because I know that other countries don't want our genetically modified rice.
Not only do they not want it, but when it was announced that there was contamination, the rice futures lost $150 million in 2 days. We expect that the price tag for this contamination is going to cost over $1 billion. What happened was, there was a field trial of this genetically engineered rice engineered not to die when sprayed with Liberty herbicide. So it was a Liberty herbicide tolerant rice. Now, how dangerous is it? Well, it's like all others. There's so many possible ways that these foods could cause problems that are not being tested. So it's kind of a genetic roulette. We know that because of the nature of the rice, there's ways that it could turn, and this is different than the pesticide producing crop. This is a crop that could actually cause the production of herbicides inside of our guts. And so the level of contamination is not that high, but it's pretty prevalent, particularly in the South. Not so much in California rice. They've been pretty lucky. It's more the Louisiana area and whatnot, Arkansas rice more than anything. And so we find that it's a tiny amount of a lot of different rice.
All right, fine. And certainly, but we have to be concerned about that sort of thing, and it is not getting the play that it should in our controlled media. Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Mike, did you have a question for Jeffrey?
Yeah, I just had a big flash. You know, George Soros, along with some others, has been investing heavily in corn, and I just wondered if they have, what are the chances they could be planning to genetically engineer corn so it produces you can get a high yield of ethanol out of it.
Well, actually, what's happening now is the ethanol subsidies and the corn subsidies to produce ethanol have pushed the price of corn up dramatically. And so what that has caused is a lot larger plantings of corn, and a lot of the corn that's being planted is genetically engineered. So Monsanto's stock went up because of it. Their prospects went up, and it's not designed necessarily to be better. I mean, they don't genetically engineer corn so that it's better for ethanol than the non-GM corn. They just genetically engineer it to either not die by when it's sprayed with an herbicide or to produce its own pesticide. And so a lot of the corn now is genetically engineered, and it's destined for ethanol plants. And this is the thing that the biotech company is latching onto. They figure there's so much resistance in the world for the food, they're going to use the genetically engineered corn for ethanol and the genetically engineered soy for biodiesel. Now, it's still not a good thing to plant, even if it's not a food product, because you end up with environmental problems. This is a self-propagating genetic pollution where you put this in the field and it can cross-pollinate, get mixed, the seeds can mix, or it can be accidentally mixed in storage or transport, and you end up polluting the natural species as well as weedy relatives, and that pollution, that genetic pollution, is something we have no technology to clean up. So we're making choices now on genetically engineered crops whose effects can outlast the effects of global warming and nuclear waste.
Amen. Thanks very much, Mike. And one other thing, what about the bees? You know, we've heard quite a bit about the disappearing of the bees, and of course some people have suggested maybe it's the genetically modified crops. Do we have any idea why the bees are disappearing, or have you looked into that at all?
Yes, I have. Now, if genetically engineered crops are involved, it would only be a contributory issue, because there are bee declines in areas where there's very few genetically engineered crops being planted. We do know, however, that there's adverse effects on insects, including the honeybees, in research that's been done. We know that with bees that genetically pollinate, their gut bacteria can end up being colonized by the genes from these plants, and also their immune system can become compromised.
And can this have some influence then on the fact that they just sort of disappear and never get back to the hive?
Yeah, well, there's a possibility that it affects their navigation, according to some French researchers some years ago. But there's not a lot of studies going on about it, unfortunately.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment. One more time, let's get out your website, please.
Okay, it's geneticroulette.com or responsibletechnology.org, or for orders you can dial 888-717-7000, 888-717-7000.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Please hang on there, Jeffrey. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest Jeffrey Smith. Jeffrey, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, when we look at the genetically engineered foods out there, we see farmers who claim that animals died, cows died, horses died, water buffaloes, chickens. We see people describing mysterious illnesses when they just breathe in the pollen of genetically engineered corn. This is in the Philippines. Or they get mysterious allergic reactions when they handle the cotton, when they harvest it or even load it onto trucks or lean against it in India. We see so much evidence now. In fact, back in the 1980s, about 100 people died and 5,000 to 10,000 fell sick associated with a genetically engineered food supplement, an L-tryptophan brand that was being produced in Japan and imported in the United States. Right now, there's so much evidence that genetically engineered foods are unsafe that it really is one of the greatest health threats and environmental threats that we face as a planet. But fortunately, it's one of the easiest problems to solve. And that's because if there is a significant, even a small percentage of consumers that choose not to buy brands that contain genetically engineered ingredients, well, the marketing reps of Kraft Foods and Nestle's and McDonald's, etc., are not going to simply sit idly by losing market share, seeing a trend and ignoring it. That's not what they get paid for. They'll see that there is a problem with genetically engineered foods. They gain no advantage from using these ingredients. They will say to their supply chain, like Whole Foods and Wild Oats and Trader Joe's have done already for their brands, that they don't want genetically engineered foods. And so the act of protecting yourself and protecting your family and loved ones from genetically engineered foods turns out to be a fantastic opportunity to move the market. We're on top of the food chain. It's already happened in Europe. It happened in a single week with a significant percentage. And when I talk about a significant percentage, I'm talking about as little as 5% of U.S. consumers making the choice. So what do we have to do? Just take steps to protect ourselves. If you go to geneticroulette.com, you can find out how to buy non-GM. There's brand names that are non-GM. We're going to come out with a third-party verified list for a very rigorous non-GM label coming out at the beginning of next year. So we're working with you, and we'd love if you could spread the knowledge and help others also protect themselves and their families, and at the same time move the market to non-GMO.
Well, Jeffrey, I really appreciate all the fine work that you're doing, and of course you're going to be getting some support from the Mercola Foundation, and so if people do contribute by the Mercola Foundation, we'll certainly match whatever people give. I think you are on the cutting edge of something very, very important. I appreciate everything you do, and we'll do everything we can through Radio Liberty to continue supporting you. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you.
Good night. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me tell you, Jeffrey Smith is totally dedicated to getting the information out, and I am indebted to him for the work he's doing. We're talking about really the survival of Western civilization. Do you know a better way to destroy a great nation and Western civilization than to poison our people and poison our reproductive capacity? And of course, if you want more information, we recommend you go to Gregory's website and get his books, The Seeds of Deception and of course, Genetic Roulette. Go to his website, responsibletechnology.org, and get on his email list. Get the information that he offers. Now, we have a four-tape set, an excellent four-tape set on genetically oriented foods. And then, of course, we carry a book called GMO, Beware the Coming Food Apocalypse. It's a very, very short little book. It's with some one advantage to it, but it's got a tremendous amount of information crammed into just a few pages. GMO Foods, GMO, Beware the Coming Food Apocalypse is the name of that. And, of course, our fourth set on genetically modified food. And then, of course, if we put it into the larger perspective, you need to get my DVD entitled Planned Population Reduction, because this is really what it's all about. In fact, all of these things attack the reproductive system. I mean, and certainly all of them produce cancer. Let me repeat what we'd said before. This hormone that is found in the milk has been found to increase the incidence of breast cancer sevenfold, seven times. Not 7%, seven times, 700%. And prostate cancer, 400%, four times. And the fact you're not hearing about this represents the degree of control that exists over the media. There really are people who would like to kill off most of the people in the world. You need to get my talk on planned population reduction, my talk on population control. Our four-tape set on population control, certainly we have a monograph, it's up on my website of RadioLiberty.com, entitled The Population Control Reduction, a monograph, the Population Control Reduction monograph, that's at RadioLiberty.com. Take it down and read it through, or if you want to get a copy, give us a call. And then, of course, you need to get our four-tape set of The New Order of the Barbarians, our interview with Dr. Dunnigan, who'd heard the former medical director of Planned Parenthood, Dr. Richard Day, talk about the ultimate plan of the group that he would work for in Planned Parenthood, who said there were just too many people in the world, we're going to have to get rid of a lot of them, we're going to suppress the treatments for cancer, create new diseases, find new ways of limiting the world population, encourage abortion and homosexuality. And if you haven't ever heard the tapes in our four-tape set or read the transcripts of The New Order of the Barbarians, this is one of the most important four-tape sets that we have. Understand there are people out there who have a different world view. And we wonder why cancer has gone from one person in 33 to one person in two during a little over 100 years, and actually they're suppressing treatments for cancer. If you've never read the Fitzgerald Report, I believe that's my my January newsletter. You can pull it down on the internet at RadioLiberty.com. That's January 2007. The report has been suppressed for 50 years. We were able to track it down, and of course you can read it up on the internet, or we'll be glad to send you a copy. Please check this out. Could it really be true? Could anything be this diabolical? And I would like to suggest it not only could be, it is. That's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or watch my DVD, Brotherhood of Darkness. And then, of course, our next talk of The Forbidden Secret, and then of the syllabus that goes with that. Well, of course, again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders and our ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views I've expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest. And well, for this hour, our guest is Melody Cederstrom. Melody, how are you doing tonight?
Just fine, thank you, Dr. Stan.
Well, of course, these are certainly exciting times, aren't they?
Oh, yes, they are.
And how is the gold and silver business? For our listeners, Melody, of course, sells gold and silver, and she supports Radio Liberty, and we certainly support her because she's been, well, always a pleasure to have on our program. But is business picking up a little bit?
During the 2 weeks where we saw over an 8% drop in the Dow Jones, and the market went from a high of 14,000 down to 13,000. There was a degree of change in purchasing during that period in time. And what's interesting is the buying picked up. There was more of an urgency, and we did experience, although temporary, there were shortages in product, in various products. Now, a lot of those shortages, you know, were short-lived because naturally when you have the stock market begin to increase again, people decide they have enough time that they're okay, and a little of that urgency is relieved, and the buying slows down, and they figure they can have next week to do it or next month or until something else happens. So, but there were shortages, and there were shortages in the 90% silver bags. You could purchase them, but they had premiums.
How much did they get up to then?
My price that my buyer charged me was $125 premium on the bags.
Okay.
So that was in addition to, and usually the 90% bags will sell for about 25 cents over spot price. So it's a great way to buy silver. Because you can get it relatively inexpensive with the spot price of gold. But we did see shortages. We also had some shortages in the Mint State 61 $20 Liberties and Saints. And there was probably about 1 or 2 days where, you know, they were still taking orders, but you had to wait a little bit for them, and they didn't have any actually readily available. And again, that was short-lived.
Are they coming in from Europe, or do they have plenty of now?
Well, you know, it's a buy and sell. You know, it's a, you know, usually there's always been plenty of sellers and buyers. You have an equal exchange. They do still bring them in from Europe, but that has, you know, really decreased over the years. I was told by my buyer that when he used to go to Europe, he could walk into any bank and he could walk out with 50 bags of coins. He says now he has to go to 50 banks in order to pick up a few bags of coins. So it certainly has changed over the years, and it's not to say that all the product has dried up, and I'm not, you know, trying to create any or to insinuate that coins are disappearing and they're not there for availability, but it was interesting and disturbing at the same degree that even when we saw just gold barely moving and we had this happening, that there was a significant amount of buyers taking the product off the shelf that quick.
All right, well, I think that we are facing some serious, financial problems in America. But there, of course, the Federal Reserve is doing just what you'd expect, pumping massive amounts of money into the economy, highly inflationary. But they're going to rescue it for the time being, but only for the time being. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom. If you're really looking and seeing what's going on, Well, certainly the housing business, the house Newcomb building is beginning to slow down dramatically. And, of course, the sales of new homes is slowing down. Certainly the sale of trucks, GM, is going to cut back significantly on its production of pickup trucks because they're just not selling here in the United States. And the same is true for Ford and for Chrysler and even for Toyota. And so the GM is offering the employees a cut in their pay from about $70 an hour for wages and benefits down to somewhere between $40 and $50 an hour wages. And of course, they'll get the same daily wage, but it's going to dramatically cut back in their health benefits and certainly in their retirement benefits. And then, of course, General Motors is trying to unload the $50 billion they have in responsibility for health benefits and pension benefits for the 1 million retired people. They're trying to get the unions to take that over for about $30 billion. General Motors is trying to restructure here, but they're just telling their employees, if you don't make the concessions we want, why, of course, we're just going to pick up and move completely out of the United States, and you'll be sitting here holding out for higher wages, but they're not going to be getting them. And so more and more of our employees here in the United States are getting lower and lower salaries. And certainly even the lawyers are talking about shifting law, material on law over to India, where you can get it done for about 10% of the legal fees here in this country. Sydney, how are things doing back there in Pennsylvania? Has the economy picked up at all?
Well, I can't say that it has, although this weekend the students came back to State College, and you would have thought that they were giving away things free through the town. But you don't see things picking up, and you hear more and more people talking about how difficult it is when you have smaller towns and areas where they had some sort of business, and that business has left. It's very difficult for people to find jobs, particularly at the wages in which they were accustomed to being paid. Things are not picking up here in Pennsylvania as far as they keep telling you that things are great, and it is all about the economy, but it certainly isn't.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and contrary to everything you're hearing, and contrary to the fact that the Federal Reserve System, the central bank, the privately owned central bank of the United States, working in concert with privately owned central banks throughout the world, because these people are a secret brotherhood, and whether it's the central bank of Russia or of China or certainly in Europe, they're all pouring money into the economy, into the world economy, to try to keep it from collapsing. So there'd be plenty of liquidity out there, but the problem is there's no shortage of liquidity. I mean, it's not a matter of liquidity, it's a matter of solvency for so many of our organizations out there. And what you're seeing is less and less jobs in the United States, paying lower and lower salaries, which means that people have less money to actually invest and buying. Of course, people they're overextended. We actually have a negative savings rate in the United States. In other words, people owe more money than they actually have savings totally here in the United States, and people just are not as optimistic. There's a change in attitude, a growing concern that something is seriously wrong. And, of course, when you have a fiat money system, it's all built upon faith that the worthless people, a piece of paper that you have that says this is legal tender, that your faith that that has real value. But there's no incidence in all history where a fiat money system has survived for any period of time, and we are at the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of the end of our fiat money system. And when it goes down, why, everybody who has anything incremented in dollars will lose it all, I fear. Do you think most people have any idea what's really happening, Melody, or do you think they're beginning to suspect that maybe they've been conned?
No, I don't believe people have a true degree of understanding, because it's very complex, and I believe in year, you know, problem after problem, it's always been addressed and it's always been postponed through the government. And I believe, you know, there is some sort of a secure feeling with having, you know, pensions and so forth tied and feeling a safety that they're protected somehow. So I really don't believe there's a deep degree of understanding of what's really going on. I mean, I think a lot understand the problems that we face, and they see our liberties being wasted away and taken from us. And I think we talk about a devaluation of a dollar, but there's no past history other than other countries that we can relate to. So I really don't think people really understand how quick it also can happen. So,
well, of course, my understanding is the dollar broke to 81, which is a support level. And has it stayed below 81? Have they been able to get it back again?
No, it's been below. Let me take a quick peek at it, where it's at right now. It's still about 80.77. So we did break that 81, and they were unable to keep it above 82 for very long. And I think this is what you'll see. They'll throw everything they can at it, manipulate it as much as they can, but it just doesn't have the surviving strength that it once has, and it's more and more difficult. So they're micromanaging the system, and they're, you know, reacting to every action in the markets. And you know, we keep saying, well, it's just a matter of time, it's just a matter of time, but I don't think anyone really knows the time, but we can see it unraveling very quickly.
Well, I think people have to see what they're doing in Europe. In Europe, they're pouring out money, but they're talking about raising their prime rate. By raising the prime rate, they're going to strengthen the value of the European currency, which was, a few years ago, 80 cents to a basket of currencies. Today it's about $1.36 to a basket of currencies, maybe $1.38. You probably know that better than I do, but the dollar used to be $1.30 in reference to that basket of currencies, and now it's a little over 80 cents. It's lost, you know, way over a third of its value. And if you go to foreign countries, you're well aware of that. You're not aware of that here, but inflation is beginning to take off here, about 11%, contrary to everything you're being told by the controlled media or by the government officials who are paid to lie to the American people. At 11% interest, it doesn't take very long before you completely destroy the value of a currency. Admittedly, you're talking about 10 years. It's not like it was in the Weimar Republic or like it is in Zimbabwe today, where they have 10,000% a year inflation. But remember, we put that regime in power. Henry Kissinger did, and if he'll do that to the people of Zimbabwe, used to be Rhodesia, would he do that to people here? And remember, Henry Kissinger is the major advisor to our president, and if you read Bob Woodward's latest book, Under Siege, he will tell you that whenever Henry Kissinger comes to town, why the president stops what he's doing, so he can confer with Henry Kissinger.
I don't think people have to realize that we're looking at a world that is awash in fiat currencies, not only the dollar, but every currency around the world. And you're right, as they raise their prime rates, and all the money that they throw and all the currencies that they throw to keep this unraveling worldwide, I mean, there's a global situation and problem that it will affect each and every one of us. So I've had people call and they want to get involved in foreign investments and foreign currencies. It's like, folks, it's not any different. And because they're all fiat currencies, they'll all have the same problem. They all have the same problem. So there's not a lot of choices when it comes to where to put your funds if you want to remain safe and carry little risk. And gold is one way that carries the least amount of risk.
And of course, gold has gone up almost 20 times here since 1971. almost 20 times in value since 1971, which is, it was about $35 an ounce at that time, and of course it's it's about $667 today when closed.
$668.
All right, fine. $660 what?
$668.
Okay, fine. It was up just a little bit, but if for our listeners out there, you've got to be in something tangible. You've got to be in something of intrinsic value during an inflationary spiral. Now, I want to specify, I am not a financial counselor, and neither is is Melody, but she's got a lot of common sense, and she's in the business, and she studied this, and you have to understand that the financial counselors, if you follow their advice, you're almost sure to lose.
It's absolutely, I'm not a financial advisor, and I've been doing this for almost 14 years, and my background has always been I worked for the savings and loans and in the insurance industry, so I always had a financial background to things, and so it's a sensible approach, and you can take out the gambling of your financial affairs, and gold, from what I've seen, and for anytime someone brings me some sort of an investment, it's very easy to, well, it's not easy sometimes, but it's easy to see where the risk is, and most people don't want to carry the risk. They want to keep what they have, and I think that's where we're at with gold. It will help you keep what you have, and the profit will just come, and people don't realize when they hear other investments, they hear about all the double-digit gains and triple-digit gains that you can have, and it's very easy to get caught up with the possible returns, but in the meantime, you also have the possibility of losing everything you have.
And here's the thing is that so much of the market today is based upon two factors, greed and fear.
Yep.
Greed is what gets you in, and fear is when you can't sleep at night and you sell frantically just before it turns around and goes up again. And they know how to buy you, and they're manipulating the stock market. They have the working group on financial matters, and certainly that we call it the plunge protection team. And the working group is manipulating the market. And we saw the other day, in 45 minutes, the market went up 345 points.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody believe that that was spontaneous buying? Of course not. The market had been up one day, down the next 340 or 50 points, and they realize that psychologically that is, it makes people worry and get concerned, and so they simply they go in with a plunge protection team, which works through the Treasury and with the Fed and certain of our large banks and stockbrokers. It's authorized under bill that was passed under Ronald Reagan to make the markets work more smoothly, and is being used routinely now in violation of all our laws to manipulate the stock market. And if you know what they're going to do, you can come out very well, and you can see what they're doing. They're manipulating the stock market up, and probably they're going to be able to get it going up even again. Why? Because they know that when the market's going up, why, you're going to feel good. And when the market's going down, you're going to be worried and concerned, and of course, they want you to be happy, and certainly not object to anything. I believe that the government can solve all of your problems. Well, believe me, ladies and gentlemen, there's no problem facing America today financially that a new government program won't make worse, because what they're doing by lowering the discount rate when they should be raising it, by lowering the discount rate and lowering the primary interest rate, and then, of course, pumping hundreds of billions of dollars into the economy, is to lay the foundation for an inflation that will make, of course, what happened in the Weimar Republic look very, very bad or inadequate in future years. Well, our guest this evening is Melody Cederstrom, and so basically, what sort of things are people getting at the present time? Are they certainly getting collector coins? Are they getting actually some of the almost uncirculated or some of the low grade collectibles? What are people buying here today?
Well, I believe in being diversified in gold and silver, and I usually will tell my clients the rule of thumb, they should have 80% gold and 20% silver. And that can change based on each individual, but a good starting point is 80-20. And being diversified means carrying some bullion coins, because I do believe, you know, emergencies happen, and if you ever need to sell your gold, and if you had a market like we've had in the past year where gold has been relatively stable and not a lot of things happening, you would want to sell your gold. So you use your gold bullion as cash, and then they'll speculate a little bit by picking up some of the lower grades. And for those who want to speculate a little bit going into some of the higher grades. And I really don't recommend rare coins. And there's always been in the past a confusion between semi-numismatics and numismatic coins. And the semi-numismatics fall between bullion and numismatics, the rare coins. And what's great about these coins is because they get action from two markets. They get action from the bullion market because they're tied closely to the spot price. There's not a huge premium over bullion. And also they get the numismatic action because they don't make the old U.S. coins anymore, so there's a supply and demand issue that plays on these. You're not paying the premiums on the coins like you do on the numismatic coins. So the key is to be diversified with the bullion and with the semi-numismatics.
Now, semi-numismatic, is that what you would call AU? Almost uncirculated, would those be the commercial grade, or what would you call them?
Well, the circulated coins do fall under the semi-numismatics, but the premiums between the circulated and the uncirculated is so narrow at this point in time that you're much better off just going ahead and getting into a lower grade $20 certified gold coin, because it takes a lot of the risk away from the circulated gold coins, like the XFs and the AUs, because they do carry, you know, some risk on those coins. So what happens with those is there's a large premium on the front end when you go to sell it, but when you go to sell it, oftentimes you'll get less than what you would for a gold eagle. So, and that's just how it's priced, because it's not a very desirable coin, and you do have a small spread. I think the spread between a circulated coin and an uncirculated one is, I think it's like around $50. So I think to secure your coin, give you a guarantee of that coin, I think the $50 is well worth the cost. And many times when you have an AU and you go to sell it, and if you don't sell it back to the person from whom you purchased it, they can say, well, you don't have an AU, you just have a very fine. And you really don't have an arguing point because you're not an expert, and you can't, you know, so you're going to lose a lot of value because there's
an opinion point. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Melody is simply talking about some of these terms that they use, circulated and uncirculated coins, certainly the AU, almost uncirculated, and where does the commercial grade fit in there?
Well, the commercial grade is right above that, but, you know, by the time you get them certified, they go right into the Mint State 61, because the certified coin, you're looking at about, you know, $25 to $35 to get a coin certified.
Okay.
So, you know, they usually go from the AUs right into a certified coin.
All right, fine. My telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you're out there and you'd like to give us a call. But these are certainly strange times we're living in. As we begin to see, of course, the private, mortgage brokers, I mean, they're all closing down. Well over 100 of them have closed down, and even the largest one in the United States countrywide has had to borrow $11.5 billion to beat its obligations, and then certainly Bank of America put another $2 billion in to buy up some of its stock to try to keep this largest of the home mortgage companies afloat. But as I said, well over 100 brokerage mortgage brokers have simply had to fold up. Where the real problem is that banks throughout the world have bought these triple-rated bonds, and they were told that these were good, solid bonds, nothing to worry about. They were backed by Moody and the other rating companies, and they simply lied to banks throughout the world because these are not triple-rated bonds. They were junk bonds, and they contained a lot of loans, a lot of collateralized debt obligations or mortgages that, of course, certainly were invalid, and where they're going to have to foreclose on the homes. And that's the last thing, of course, you want if you're sitting over in Europe to have a bond. And what are you going to do when the people don't pay their loans? And so basically what we're seeing is a matter of solvency. And many of our major banks and our hedge funds and our pension funds and have invested in what they thought were triple rated bonds, and of course they weren't. So what's going to happen there, Melody?
Well, I think we're going to see, I don't believe there's any solutions to the problems. I mean, it's going to have to run its course. And when I was in the insurance business, I spent 12 years in the insurance business, and I remember there were many, perhaps not many, but there were several insurance companies that would be rated, AAA, and many times, overnight or months, they go from AAA down to B- or lower. So things happen very quickly and very rapidly when there isn't any strong foundations to these financial companies. And this thing have to unravel, and we have these mortgage, then you can continue to look at these mortgage arms that are set, they're due to reset come this October, and we also have the consumer that their defaults on credit card payments are significantly higher than what they were last year, and these credit card companies were forced to write off almost a little over 4.5% of payments as uncollectible the first half of this year, and that's about almost 30% higher year on year. So, we're beginning to see them defaulting more and more on their credit cards.
And certainly I think we're going to see more and more people are having more and more financial problems. But it's mainly this little guy. The big guy, they're going to bail him out. And the Fed is, of course, actually putting all sorts of money into the system, which, supposedly this is just temporary, but they're going to have a hard time getting it out because if they start withdrawing money and tightening up on money, why, the whole thing implodes. And so when you are in a fiat money system and it gets into problems, as has happened dozens of times in the past with similar problems, you just have to keep putting in more money and more money and more money. And every time, of course, you put in more money, why, you create more inflation. And you destroy the value of the existing currency that's out there. And one day people wake up and suddenly realize that although they still may have $1 million, why, it's not going to buy much more than a small car. Or maybe it won't buy a car at all. Maybe it will buy a loaf of bread. People say that couldn't happen. Ladies and gentlemen, it's happened in Rhodesia. It's happened time and time again throughout history. There's no incidents in all history where a fiat money system has worked for any period of time, and neither will ours. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom, and of course, somebody called in wanted to know what we were talking about when we were referring to the dollar at 81 and 82, and so we're going to hold that until all of our stations are back online with us, and so we'll let Melody give a couple of her thoughts on what's going on, and then when in about 2 minutes when we have the stations online, we'll try to answer that question. Do you want to answer that question when it comes up, Melody?
Sure, I can.
All right, fine. Well, then that'll be your assignment as soon as we get back. Anyway, of course, you're, of course, talking to people all over the country. I'm sure that they call you, they talk to you. They express their concerns about what's going on. What is their primary concern? They talk to you now, you know, what are they concerned about as far as the economy is concerned, as far as their economic future?
Well, they're concerned about being able to keep what they have, and a major concern is their pension funds, because so many of them, they can't have access to them, and they certainly don't want to cancel out and pay the penalties or their taxes that would due them. And some of the best advice I ever received was, you shouldn't allow taxes and penalties interfere with your investment decisions, because ultimately that will keep you from doing what you should be doing. So you need to write them out of the equation. And so those are probably the biggest concerns. They don't want to lose what they have. It's difficult. It's harder and harder to live. Prices are continuing to rise. And they just want to be able to protect themselves.
And, of course, the idea that we have a 2.2% inflation rate is just, it just isn't true. I mean, we have people in government who are paid to come up with lies. And the old saying is that figures don't lie, but liars can sure figure. And I think that really is so true when it comes to all these reports you're getting from the government. Oh, you know, employment is up, you know, and all these good jobs we're producing. Ladies and gentlemen, we aren't producing jobs in manufacturing. We aren't producing good-paying jobs. And the only good-paying job you're going to get now is working for the government. But as far as industry is concerned, why, of course, they don't have to pay good salaries here. You either work for what they offer you, or they go overseas, which is happening more and more and more frequently. They're bringing in people from other countries to take our jobs. Well-trained people, admittedly. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, if you have a question or comment, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But before we go on, I want to give Melody an opportunity to get her webpage and her telephone number up.
It's still the long wedge webpage. It's discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. That is discount gold and silvertrading.net. And for all email questions, you can direct them to discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. And the phone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, I'll tell you what, somebody had called in, and when you and I were talking about it, the dollar at 81, and then at 82, and now it's really down below 81, which was a support level, and it's down at 80.65, somewhere in there. Could you explain to our listener what we're really talking about? These are figures that you and I understand, and every one of our listeners, we want them to understand. But, you know, of course, unless they're dealing with these figures all the time, and they understand what the basket of currencies is and how they determine what the value of the dollar is in reference to other currencies, the figures really are confusing. Could you go ahead and explain for our listeners what we're talking about when we refer to the dollar is at 82 and now down below 81, about what, 80.6?
Well, this index is a basket of currencies. And if I remember correctly, it started back in the early 70s. I think it was, 73, 74. And it's a measure of value of the U.S. dollar against its most significant other countries, trading partners. And the I believe there's six major world currencies in its basket. It's the euro, the yen, Canadian dollar,
probably the franc mark, things like that. So there were about six currencies. And because really, initially, all currencies were related to the dollar because the dollar was gold-backed, at least until August 15th of 1971. And then, of course, Richard Nixon destroyed the whole world monetary system based upon Bretton Woods and a post-World War II agreement. And so, then they set up the basket of currencies, and the standard was the dollar, and it was worth $1, and then all the currencies were either higher or lower. Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely correct.
All right, then what are we talking about when we talk about 81, or point 81?
Well, point 81 is the value of the dollar measured in the index against these other currencies.
And what it used to be, of course, we were one, and then, of course, we went down, and then, initially, the euro was 0.8 in relationship to the dollar. In other words, the dollar was worth a lot more than the European currency. And for a time, of course, within the last two or three years, the dollar was up to about $1.32 in reference to this basket of other currencies. But in the last several years, last two and a half years, the dollar has fallen from about $1.32 down to about 80, well, originally it was about 81 cents, and that was the support level. It was always above 81 cents in reference to this other basket of currencies, with the average being 100, but the euro being much higher and the yen being a little bit lower. But then recently, after, you know, the support level of 81 was broken, now we're below that level, down to about, what are we, about 80.5, 80.6?
Yeah, 80.7. And 80 is the next, is the breaking point, and there's many predictions once it breaks 80 that it could go into a free fall, but we have gone below 80. We've gone below 80. A couple times since the middle of July, but I don't believe we actually closed below 80, and then they ran it back up to 82. So, and there's many predictions once it breaks 80 and it closes below 80 that it certainly could go down to the, I believe the next level is 72, and the level below that is, you're talking around 43. So, there's many predictions that once it breaks 80, that it could actually go into free fall at that point in time. So that it's all about the dollar, and it's all about the dollar keeping it above that level, because it is certainly a big unknown once it breaks that and closes below that.
And of course, the pound now. It used to be, of course, you got about the pound was worth about $1.40. Well, now the pound is worth $2 to the dollar. In other words, it take you $2 to buy 1 pound. And so if you go to England today and you want to stay at a hotel, it's going to cost you $300 or $400 a night for a hotel in London or in many European countries. And so you're not aware of this here in the United States, and we're not talking about a fancy hotel. We're just talking about, a livable hotel. And so what we're doing by destroying the value of the dollar, it makes it extremely, of course, expensive when we go to other countries or if we buy products from other countries. And, of course, it makes it very cheap when foreigners come to the United States. But in the long run, what this does is destroy the value of the American currency. And this is really what it's all about. You're witnessing the demise of the once mighty dollar, as it becomes an increasingly a second-rate currency, and America moves from a position of being a first-world nation towards a second-world nation, and, of course, eventually, as it's been said to Warren Buffett, is to suggest that before long, why we will simply become sharecroppers in our own country. And there will be, of course, a few very, very wealthy people, and, of course, the living standards of the average American will fall and fall and fall. And, of course, the luxuries we've had in the past, we're just not going to be able to afford them. And, of course, this is all part of a long-range program outlined in the Earth Charter to bring about equitable distribution of wealth not only within nations, but between nations. And equitable distribution means the wealthy get wealthier, The poor get poorer, but you wipe out the middle class and everybody's poor, other than, of course, government employees who will always be looked after, and, of course, the police and the military who are used to keep the common people in line. This is the way that it is all throughout the world. Why do you think, of course, that most countries need a great big army? That's not to fight an enemy. It's to keep the population under control, for the same reason that we recently did away with the Posse Comitatus Act, so they could use the American military against the American people. People say that could never happen in America, and I would ask, why not? If God is just, don't you think he's going to bring his justice on America? Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, if you have a question or comment about what we're talking about. And we're talking about the demise of the dollar. It's not going to fall apart tomorrow. It's just gradually going down. But, of course, what we're seeing is just the beginning of the ravages of inflation here. As you go to the market, you find that, of course, so many of the products have almost up 20% in price, and so many of the fruits and vegetables and milk and chicken and meat are up between 9.5% and 10.5%, and certainly milk is up 15%, 18% just in this last year. Certainly you're seeing this when you go to the market, don't you, Melody?
Absolutely, and prices are going to continue to rise, and they're going to take until the people don't have any more to give. And then they'll probably try and take some more. And it was all part of a plan. And it was all by design. And we're beginning to see the final stages of it. And I think oftentimes, Dr. Stan, we talk about this over and over again. And I think people have they believe it should happen quicker, you know, because we talk about it, and I've known people that have been following this, yourself, for how many years, and people don't understand that they're taking their time, or the appropriate time for which this to unfold and for them to complete their design. So I hear all the time that people say, I don't understand how they've been able to hold it up. How do they hold it up? How can they hold it up? And it should have happened a long time ago. And so I really don't have any other answers other than we should be thankful that they've given us a little bit of time, because each time I see them suppress gold and each time I see them put funds into the market, I look at it as an opportunity to not only buy gold but to get the rest of the household in order, to where you can, you know, continue to purchase storable foods and water and get any other supplies that you need to get. So perhaps we should be a little thankful that we're not quite at the end yet.
Well, Chris, what they're going to continue doing is every time there's a new crisis, they'll pump more money into the system.
Yeah.
And because this is how it always is. I mean, what else can they do? I mean, the only other thing would be to simply stop supporting it, let the whole thing collapse. But politicians and certainly the people who control our central bank aren't going to do what is right. They are going to keep this thing going until the time comes when they're ready to bring about a world government. And, of course, to have the world government, you've got to do away with national sovereignty. To do away with national sovereignty, you have to do away with with national currency. So that is where we're headed. But it'll be a few years, I think, before they're ready to implement the global currency. If you want to know more about it, there's an excellent article by Ben, that's with 2 N's, Style, Steil, on Foreign Affairs Magazine, which is published by our invisible government. And, of course, you can type in, Google in, Foreign Affairs, Global Currency. You'll pull up Ben Stiles' article. Read it. It will tell you that you need the stability of gold. But, of course, what they are really advocating is a privately issued global currency. Who is going to issue the privately issued global currency backed by gold? Why, the very people who've got us into the mess they have today. But of course, they of course realize that you have to have the stability of gold, else of course the politicians and everybody else will tend to just simply destroy the currency. So we'll have a stable currency, which they of course have produced, and they will use of course for their own benefit. And of course, when you control the currency, why, you control the destiny of nations. Well, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question for Melody, and of course Melody is certainly on the front lines of this battle, dealing with people every day who are trying to preserve something. Now, the price of gold is being manipulated. The price of silver is being manipulated, but they can only manipulate it for so long because there's only so much gold and silver out there. And other people in other countries, in India, in China, and in Russia, and certainly throughout Asia. These are little people, just like you and me. But they want something that will be stable, that will allow them to preserve the value of their currency. So they're buying gold and silver today, and there's massive increase of buying of gold in the Orient, and certainly even in Russia itself and within China itself. And so eventually, of course, the central banks are going to run out of their gold positions, and then they'll no longer be able to control the price of the precious metals, and I believe they're going to go through the roof. What do you think?
Well, I do believe gold is going to go through the roof, and I always try to remind my customers why they really buy gold, to keep what they have, to protect their purchasing power, and you know, profits are secondary, but I do believe gold going to go through the roof. I believe gold plays a very important part in the future of global trade, and also in this one world government in which they're trying to complete. I'm not sure exactly how gold will play its part, but it's going to be a very important part in the scheme of things. And yes, when you look at the billions and billions and close of dollars that they're putting into the markets just to hold them together, each time they print a currency in order to support their markets, I just look at an additional $10 in the gold price going up. So because they just can't continue to inflate their currencies and gold not react to it. So there's heavily, and I truly do believe the ETFs was a main reason why they were created, was to help control the price of gold, because they have a little quicker access to it, and they can sell it. But you have these mining companies who got involved in these derivatives. So, you know, even though they began to hedge themselves over the years, you know, they got caught up in this derivative. So they're being impacted, which I think has some impact on gold. So but once all these problems filter through, and we can't look to gold on a day-to-day basis. I mean, we follow the spot price of gold, and it gives us an indication of what is happening with gold. But gold is truly a long-term investment, and so we don't know when gold will actually spring out of its out of the 600 range. There's many predictions that gold will be $850. There's a real possibility of gold being $850 by the end of the year. I think this fall is going to be very significant to the price of gold. I think once gold breaks 700, I don't even think you're going to see the 700s. We're going to be in 800, you know, within a blink. We saw the same thing happen going through the 600 last year. We went through 600 like there was no tomorrow. Sure, it fell back after we hit 720, and it fell back and sort of steadied out at 650. But running to 720, it went through 600 like it wasn't even there, and I think you'll see the same thing with 700.
All right, fine. Well, I want to get your telephone number and your webpage out one more time, and Jack will get to you after the break here.
The phone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And the website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Discount Gold and Silver Trading. gold.net.
And of course, somebody asked if oil prices go up, will gold continue to fall? No, I think they're probably both going to go up, and very, very soon we'll be right back. Well, Jack, go ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, and thank you for that statement about the CFR and it had to be stabilized with a gold standard. Is that what that was about?
Yeah, right. Or at least it would be needed a global currency, and of course, one of the things to get it, one way to get it would be a global currency, but a privately issued global currency, perhaps backed by gold.
Oh, that was. Oh, okay. All right. Well, my question to Melody, number one, whether the Kennedy half hour has any intrinsic value, and also whether the she thinks, or you, Dr. Stan, whether Dr. Ron Paul, whether he has identified the need for restoring the gold or silver standard here in this country.
All right, fine. What about the Kennedy 50-cent piece, Melody?
I think the 90% silver is very important. I don't believe you need to purchase uncirculated Kennedy halves or quarters or dimes. I believe when you purchase the 90% silver, you should purchase them in circulated condition, because usually the premiums on uncirculated is extremely high, and then I think you sort of lose the benefit of why you're buying the 90% silver. I mean, when you can buy that at about 25 cents over spot, which includes shipping, so it's actually lower than that if you're looking at a full bag.
Well,
your idea is to purchase as much silver as possible.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you so much.
All right, fine. Thank you very much, Jack. Okay, fine. Okay, and somebody wanted to know if the dollar was going to go up. If the dollar continues to fall, will the oil price go up? Yes. If the oil price goes up, I believe the dollar will fall. And I believe the dollar is going to fall under any circumstances. And basically, of course, the price of oil is really not high today. It is the fact that the value of the dollar has really fallen so much, you know, since 1971, that if you really look at the price of oil today, it hasn't gone up at all. It's all related to the fall of the American dollar, and people don't understand. They can't think in these terms, because we imagine we have a stable currency, and we used to have a stable currency. We had one until the Fed took over, the privately owned central bank, whose job it was to guarantee a stable currency, and they lost 96% of the purchasing power of our currency. Well, our guest this evening has been Melody Cederstrom. Melody, do you have anything to say before we let you go?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on the Kennedy half dollars also. You know, they were very lightly circulated, so when you buy like VG Plus, most of your Kennedy half are going to look brand new. And I've known some, what they do is they take these Kennedy halves out of a regular VG Plus bag, they look brand new, and they'll sell them as uncirculated. So it's another reason why you don't want to purchase uncirculated Kennedy half dollars, is because, I mean, most of them are uncirculated, or they have very little contact marks on them or anything, because they weren't in circulation for very long. So I would say definitely stay away from any uncirculated Kennedy half dollars, or any of the quarters, or also the dimes, the uncirculated Mercury dimes. I mean, you pay a huge premium on them, and I just don't think it's necessary.
All right. God bless, and thanks very much, Melody.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Melody Cederstrom, and we do hope that many of you out there certainly will evaluate what's going on. If you have not yet heard my talk on Financial Tsunami, or the syllabus, read the syllabus, goes with it, and I do recommend the syllabus with the talk. Why, of course, you'll get a great deal of understanding of what is really happening financially, and how all the various parts of this this storm are coming together. And it is a financial storm, and of course, the pension funds are coming up, and certainly next year the baby boomers begin to retire, and they're expecting to get their pensions, but there's no money in the pension fund. It's all been spent. And within a relatively few years, they've run out of money, and of course they're putting out more than they're taking in, and that's pretty hard to do over a long period of time. The real national debt is in the realm of $60 to $70 trillion. There's no way it'll be ever paid off, and if you doubt that, you can go up to Google in St. Louis Federal Reserve Board, Kitlikoff, and he's an economist who wrote an article for the St. Louis branch of the Federal Reserve System saying America's bankrupt. Or type in David Walker, GAO, and get his material. You'll find the same thing is true. And then, of course, we have the rising prices of oil. We've got, of course, the imploding housing market. We have the carry trade. We have the derivatives and hedge funds. All of these are explosive situations. They can lead to monetary instability. And we have the one fact. We have a fiat money system, and every fiat money system throughout history has failed. Let me suggest a little pamphlet, The History of Money. The History of Money. And if you'd like to learn more about the talk on the financial tsunami and the syllabus, or the pamphlet on the history of money, or certainly the books, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, or one of my favorites, Fiat Money, Inflation in France. Because as you read that book about what happened in post-revolutionary France in 1789 and compare it with what's going on today, and the moral breakdown and certainly the loss of integrity on the part of government officials who could be so easily bribed, is like deja vu all over again. If you'd like more information, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We suggest that people begin studying what's going on. Try to understand the basic elements of what's going on. If you'd like, certainly our last several newsletters, deal with this. My August newsletter will give you tremendous insight into what's going on in America, and you'll learn, of course, from what happened in Japan when they did exactly the same thing, and they were running the stock market up, and then it collapsed in 1990, and property lost 90% of its value. Property lost 90% of its value, and Japan has still not recovered from that debacle. And of course, the Japanese people are frightened to death that it's going to happen again, and they're probably absolutely right. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.